It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. The climate treaty talks in Durban, South Africa, are finding mostly disagreements. In addition to the usual divides between rich and poor, north and south, there is no consensus on how to move forward to reduce greenhouse gases. Despite that, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon urged the delegates to press on. NPR's Richard Harris reports from Durban.
Ban admitted up front that a comprehensive deal may well be out of reach in Durban, but that's not reason to give up.
Yes, we all recognize the realities of our time, the economic crisis, the dictates of fiscal austerity, often difficult domestic politics. Yet the world and its people cannot accept no for an answer in Durban.
Getting to yes, though, doesn't just depend on economic conditions. There's also a fundamental rift between nations. 14 years ago, in Kyoto, nations attempted to create a treaty from the top down, in which the international community collectively set the targets for reducing emissions. That paradigm mostly failed. It has largely been replaced with a new approach, which emerged from the Copenhagen talks 2 years ago.
In a way, we're sort of turning the Kyoto model on its head.
Elliot Derringer is from a nonprofit once known as the Pew Center on Global Climate Change, but is now the Center for Climate and Energy Solutions. He says many countries in Copenhagen reluctantly accepted an approach in which individual nations would figure out for themselves what they can achieve and then pledge to work toward those goals with no consequences other than scorn if they fall short.
Once we have sorted out at home what we're prepared to do, then it's much easier to bring that into the international context and commit ourselves to that in a binding fashion.
But right now, not everyone shares the desire to turn this arrangement back into a binding international treaty. So it remains a catalog of voluntary actions. And Derringer says many nations still bridle at the system that has largely replaced the Kyoto Treaty.
It's difficult for people to give up what we thought was the answer and envision a path toward a new answer.
One problem is the new voluntary pledges don't come anywhere close to cutting carbon dioxide emissions enough to stop global warming. Bill Hare from a nonprofit called Climate Analytics in Berlin says the pledges made last year in Cancun put the world on a track to blow through the internationally agreed upon goal of limiting global warming to 2 degrees Celsius.
We're heading to well over 3 degrees. We estimate 3.5 degrees if the Cancun pledges are fully implemented completely. If not, then we're heading for much higher levels of warming.
And Hare says reaching those goals is proving to be a stretch. The United States, for instance, hasn't laid out a clear plan for its pledge to reduce emissions 17% from 2005 levels by the end of the decade. And right now it does not appear to be on track to meet it.
The U.S. is not alone in that context. What we see from emission trends in many countries is, at the very best, countries are slow to introduce the policies to meet their pledges.
And some of those pledges, such as China's, aren't even to reduce emissions, but just to slow the rate of increase a bit. Yet the world's major emitters have said they are not planning to consider more ambitious pledges just yet. Having a legally binding treaty wouldn't solve that problem, but Jennifer Haverkamp from the Environmental Defense Fund argues that it is important to maintain some sort of credible international forum, and that's a potential victim in the battle here over a future treaty.
It's no accident that Australia passed a climate law right before this set of meetings. It's no accident that South Africa came out with a climate policy just a few weeks ago. So this process is still important for catalyzing and encouraging those activities by countries, but we can't put all our eggs in this basket.
Environmental groups realize a lot of the action is now at the state and even local levels, and action, after all, is what counts in the end. So groups are putting additional efforts there, figuring that if there is success at the smaller scales, that will encourage national governments to make bigger commitments if they ever do decide to move back into a legally binding international deal. Richard Harris, NPR News, Durban, South Africa.